It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back to Drive. 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, 5 o'clock hour, Carrington back on Monday. Brandon Ayuk, by the way, Rob, you know, we talked about familiarity with Jaden Daniels. There's rumors now that he likes something with the Steelers, with him in a uniform, because you know how that's what everybody does if he likes something on social media or whatever. But Ayuk did play with Jaden Daniels at Arizona State, you know, before Jaden Daniels went to LSU. So they do know each other. So that, you're right, that's not as far-fetched as you think.
That was one of Herm's teams, wasn't it?
It was on, Herm got those guys there, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure their DC was Antonio Pierce, like one of your small world moments.
He was there with them. So interesting deal there. With.
I mean, Herm probably cheated to get him there. We know that now from him getting in trouble with the NCAA.
I just think that it changes the complexion of everything, especially the 49ers. I don't know how people can sit there and the odds makers and everything and consider San Francisco one of the best teams in the NFL roster-wise if everybody's either holding out, being traded, or hurt. So, and they have less rest than anybody else. So I'm interested in that. Now, keep in mind, we talked about Sky Moore. That was one person's opinion he may not play. He could play. I mean, we don't know for sure if he's going to play or not. We'll see later on. And don't even – who warms up, I don't even think he can go by that, because what happens is – a lot of players will warm up and they'll come back, you know, off the field and not end up playing. But third preseason game, does it matter? Yes, it does. It matters a ton to Andy Reid and Brett Veach, because they're the ones that have to make that final roster crunch. And as they always say, make it tough. Make it tough to cut you. Make them realize that. Also tonight, Hard Knocks is here too. You dive in the Hard Knocks because they're here. Ryan Poles back, GM. Ted Cruz is there now. There's several Chiefs front office guys. But Hard Knocks is here, and they don't allow cursing this year, which is insane to me. That ruins the show.
I mean, I have not watched Hard Knocks much, but, you know, I have heard that Caleb Williams is the star of Hard Knocks, but I have personally not tuned in. Hard Knocks to me kind of jumped the shark. Like, there was a time where it was, like, really, really cool, but nowadays, almost every team puts out, like, the Chiefs have, it's called The Franchise. It's a weekly web series.
Which I think is actually better.
It's very good, but it's, shout out to, what was it, the 65 TPT team over there. Yeah. They do a great job.
It's awesome.
It's a fantastic product, but, like, why would I watch HBO's product when my own team is likely already doing that in the regular season? And the HBO product is sanitized because the team gets to pick what does and doesn't go on there. So now, as opposed to getting like cool behind the scenes training camp stories, it's the Bears are just on a bigger platform doing The Franchise. Like, it's the same. And now you see mid season ones with the Giants on Amazon Prime. I guess that is on HBO Max too, but like there's an Amazon Prime one. Like, there's so much NFL behind the scenes content out there that I think it has taken away from what Hard Knocks was, because there was a time when Hard Knocks was awesome. Like 2010, 11, 12, when they had the Jets on there. Oh, that was,
The Ravens back in the day, right after the Super Bowl when Gerback was there.
And must watch television. But now it's just okay.
I thought Herm, when he was with the Chiefs, was kind of made for TV. You know, he had certain things you realize, okay, they're doing this for TV. But a lot of guys do it to look cool or not. They don't even want to be on Hard Knocks. Like, they don't want to. But if you made the playoffs the previous year, you don't have to be in it. It's one of the stipulations. This year, what they're doing is NFC North. You see the midseason ones, not just one team. It'll be the whole NFC North, or AFC North, excuse me, AFC North. And I think that'll actually be pretty interesting.
I mean, the Giants one has been more interesting than the Bears one, because we got the stuff in the Giants one with the decision they made on Saquon, how those conversations went. That was more interesting to me than look, Caleb Williams announced his signing bonus. I can go to SpotTrack and find his signing bonus. I don't need a video of him doing it. That doesn't show me anything.
I just think if you take the cussing out of it, I know what you're thinking. I don't need to hear the cussing. I don't need to hear it on there. Well, that's part of football, and you know, it's not as good when you edit it out and it's not real. It's just different. I don't really care for that. But as far as the Chiefs, if you've never seen the franchise, you can check it on their social media channels, and it's on their Chiefs YouTube. The production of that is better than Hard Knocks, in my opinion. I mean, it is inside look, goes to the guys' houses with their family or whatever, but it's the franchise does a great job. It really does. I mean, if you haven't checked that out, but if you're a Hard Knocks fan and you want to see what the Chiefs do with it, watch the franchise, because I think they've done a tremendous job with that show. But, of course, you know, part of this game tonight will be on there, too. And the roster cuts downs and guys, you know, making that – when the Turk calls and you go in and turn your playbook in, which isn't at this point, it's more of an iPad that you turn in now to the coaching staff, and where you can be. And being on Andy Reid's good side, and this whole coaching staff, Spagnuolo, Dave Tobe, they can recommend though other coaches, because they know almost every other coach in the league. They can find you a spot because they'd give you that crystal clear recommendation to get them on another team. ESPN Plus had the ranked their top coaching staffs in the NFL. They put the Raiders dead last, by the way. They had them dead last in the NFL at number 32. I don't think that's fair to Antonio Pierce.
Real? Well, hold on.
I think the coaching staff is better than 32. Now, if we want to talk about front office and the fact they don't have a quarterback this year, that's a different story. I thought Antonio Pierce fired that team up to some extent for what he could. I mean, it's not a very talented team.
Doesn't Antonio Pierce reek of interim coach syndrome, where like the guy everyone hates gets fired, so they all rally behind the backup guy, and then it's like, oh, look how great that went, and they hire him full time, and it's a disaster. Like, we saw that in Kansas City. The team did not like Todd Haley in 2011, and guess what happened? They ran Todd Haley out mid-season. Enter Romeo Crennel. They beat the Packers with the time run defeated. They entered a playoff push late in the season, barely missed, and the thought was, we all love Romeo Crennel. The Chiefs defense, which at that time was the highlight of the team, not that it's not anymore, but Tom Bahali, Justin Houston, Eric Berry, all these big-name Chiefs, like, man, we love Romeo Crennel. Hire Romeo Crennel. Romeo's our guy. Romeo's the best. They hired Romeo Crennel. What happened? It may have been the worst year in the history of the franchise. So I'm not saying it's about to be a disaster in Vegas, but man, does it feel like rally behind the interim guy, and the interim guy isn't a really quality coach.
I might reserve that spot, though, Rob, and hear me out on this, for the Jets or the Giants. Putting Brian Daboll there. I mean, the Jets, you're sitting there with Saleh, which hasn't done anything, and then you got Nathaniel Hackett there as their offensive coordinator. When you're thinking about coaching staff, I mean, until they do something, I might put them behind Antonio Pierce.
I mean, Robert Saleh went 8-9 last year. I know that's not good. I'm not saying like...
Well, he got the best out of Zach Wilson. I'll give him that.
I'm not saying throw a parade for Robert Saleh. And listen, I'm not a Robert Saleh guy. I'm not telling you he's some great NFL head coach. But do you think Antonio Pierce ever does better than 8-9? Brian Daboll went to the playoffs 2 seasons ago with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, a playoff team. Brian Daboll has shown he's a better NFL coach. Now, he might get fired. Like, being better than Antonio Pierce doesn't mean you're safe forever. I think Daboll could be in trouble. I think Robert Saleh is in big trouble if it doesn't work out in New York. Like, there are people who are, you got to look at and be like, uh-oh, it could be a problem. But I think there's better pedigree with those guys than Antonio Pierce.
Philadelphia's 15, so.
Antonio Pierce just was like, and I really don't like that Max Crosby said, hire Antonio Pierce. Don't hold the franchise hostage.
Yeah,
I don't like any of that.
I always say this, if Nick Sirianni at 15 in Philadelphia, I'd put Sirianni behind that. He's starting to wear out his welcome. I mean, the locker room in Philadelphia, when that team was good, remember when they beat the Chiefs and he was all walking out and peacocking and talking about beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, then the season just collapsed on him. Then there was all that talk that he and the quarterback didn't get along last year, Jalen Hurts. It's imperative for your quarterback and head coach to get along. Right, Rob? I mean, isn't that the number one thing that should happen?
They got a new DC and OC in Philadelphia,
They cleaned house in Philadelphia when Nick Sirianni might be the problem. It was interesting. Kevin Stefanski was 13th in the Cleveland Browns. because they do have Dorsey and Schwartz there on that staff, and it is the reigning coach of the year at number 13 with Kevin Stefanski, which we all know he shouldn't have won it last year, but the voting was done way too early. They had Dan Campbell at number two. They really liked him, but they love Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, and like what Aaron Glenn's doing, defensive coordinator. Number one, they had the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they not had the Chiefs there, you'd start worrying about the sanity or what the writer was drinking or smoking if they didn't have the Chiefs at number one. It just made so much sense. They're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They've won three of the last four. Andy Reid's number two all-time in postseason wins. You got Steve Spagnuolo that people think can a defensive coordinator get into the Hall of Fame eventually. He's got his multiple Super Bowl rings. He stopped Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. You know, he's got the pedigree. He's taken this team, said that no pass rush to 55 sacks 2 years ago, second in the NFL. Last year, 57 sacks. He works magic, works wonders. That's what he does. And then Dave Tobe, which didn't have as good a year as he probably wanted the last couple of years, but still one of the better special teams coaches in the league. And the guy got one guy in the Hall of Fame, Devin Hester, when he was in Chicago. He got him in the Hall of Fame. But they've, most of the time, they've kept their coaching staff intact. And I think that's what's made them so good. In the front office, to some extent, they've lost some scouts here and there. Obviously, they lost Ryan Poles to Chicago. You lost Ballard to Indianapolis from that staff. But Veach came here originally with Andy Reid from Philadelphia. He was one of the, 24 members of that organization in some way or fashion from the training staff on down that came from Kansas City, from Philadelphia. And he was one of those guys. And the one thing that about Brett Veach is he gets guys promoted. They go on to other places. Borgonzi, his assistant GM now, will be on somewhere else now because why wouldn't you hire him? But the front office and Veach and what they've done and what they continue to put out and give and supply to Andy Reid, it's fun time now for him, in my opinion, because it's getting Patrick Mahomes weapons. And I think that's what he's going to continue to do. Xavier Worthy, who you're not going to see tonight, I go back and forth with the text line. Text line likes Worthy sometimes, but there is still a few haters out there that he's too small. He's going to get broken down in the NFL. He gets thrown down at the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to change your mind. I've seen Tyreek Hill thrown down at the line of scrimmage. Remember last year in the playoffs? I saw him, the quote, number one player on the NFL top 100 list, being thrown to the ground. But you keep the coaching staff together, which is what they've been able to do. And even when they leave and go have success somewhere else, like Nagy did, I know he gets run from Chicago, but he did make the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky, and that's tough to do. That's tough to do. He was NFL Coach of the Year. He's won it one time. Andy Reid, believe it or not, just won it one time. Kevin Stefanski's won it twice, believe it or not. You could add up Nagy and Reid, and it would be equal to what Stefanski has, which I think is insane. But the way that this team has come together is a big part of the coaching staff. I remember when Andy Reid first got here, like he had that credibility immediately with these players. I mean, they obviously it's not about his NFL acumen and playing and stuff like that. It's about what he's done as a coach. I mean, he had that football cred. He had five NFC title games under his belt from Philadelphia, had been to a Super Bowl. He came here, people bought right into it. And to be honest with you, he deserved the Coach of the Year in 2013. This team was number one on the clock after what happened in that debacle in 2012, and he just takes that team to the playoffs, starts 9-0 the next season. But he always had that staff. And I don't forget, Bill Moss had said, I think it was Fesco back in the day, and he's like, well, when you're Andy Reid, you can hire who you want, and you get the best people. And that's what I think he's done. He's gone out, and even when guys leave, he brings it back if he thinks of the place. Like, obviously, he liked Matt Nagy with this offense and with Mahomes and saw that working out, so he thought, okay, we'll bring him back. You know, Doug Peterson's one of those guys, honestly, he could be brought back if he gets run in Jacksonville. I mean, I know he won a playoff game 2 years ago, and he didn't make the playoffs last year. Could I see him back here with the Chiefs? Yeah, I could see it at some point. But the one thing we know is they're going into this year with a better defense than what we've seen in the past. Now, can it be as good as last year's? That's going to be tough, man, because last year's was good. Number two in the NFL in sacks, number two in yards against, number two in scoring defense, which is the most important stat. You go out and you beat the number one, two, three, and five teams in scoring offense in the NFL in the playoffs, not just at home, but on the road. You go and beat them. But I think they're going to be bringing that swag in. And I think people talk about it because they'll say, we're the best defense in the NFL. Last year, it wasn't the Chiefs mentioned at all. What, they would barely be mentioned with best defenses in the NFL. Now they are. And when they got to the postseason, they started getting their credit. They deserve credit early on. I remember after 4 or 5 games, we sat there and go, all right, is this defense for real or not? The thoughts of, is this going to be a top 10 defense going into the year? Is this going to be Mahomes' best defense he's ever had? I always felt they would be. I didn't think they were going to be that good. But, man, with all those draft picks and all that draft capital spent on defense, remember 2 years ago, it was 8 out of 10 picks were on defense? They went heavy on defense in the draft the last couple of years, and it's paying off. Like, you knew exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it. I remember going in the last year, 20 of Brett Veach's last 21 draft picks were on the team. And you might say, well, you know, teams keep their draft picks, you know, every other team. Well, but the Chiefs keep their draft picks and they win. It's a big difference. It's one thing to keep your draft picks. It's another to keep your draft picks and actually win Super Bowls is what the Chiefs have done. But they've spent a lot of draft capital on defense. This year is more of an offensive draft. 2 defensive backs. Jaden Hicks was taken. Kamal Haddon was taken. And the rest, offensive players for him. But the year before was about defense, except for that Friday night of the draft that was in Kansas City. That was Rasheed Rice and Wanya Morris that year. But 5 out of 7 were defensive players. Then the year before that's when he had Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco on offense, Nazee Johnson, Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis. That's a hell of a draft. I know Sky Moore's mixed in there, but again, you're going to have some hits. And you're going to have some misses. And I remember last year people say, well, do we trust Brett Veach getting an offensive skill position? My answer is yes. He hadn't had to do it very often because he's been concentrating on defense. Do I have confidence in him on offense because of Sky Moore? Yeah, I do. Because when you just take one guy and make that your skill position guy, he better pan out because you don't have a backup plan. There's not somebody else that can take over and do that job. But with Rasheed Rice last year, he 100% nailed that. Rasheed Rice was taken in the second round, and he ended up being better than the first-round wide receivers last year. The only wide receiver in the NFL that had more yards and catches than him was Puka Nacua, that everybody missed on the NFL. And Rams did too, to be honest with you. This is their 3rd, 5th-round pick. He was the only rookie wide receiver that had better numbers than Rasheed Rice. You know, as far as pass catchers, Sam Laporta had more catches, but he's a tight end, not a wide receiver. But you got to hit in the draft, and that's what they've done. So my faith is there, Rob, as far as offensive skill positions, because when you're taking just one dart, like this year, Xavier Worthy in the first round, you better hope it pans out. You know what I'm saying? You got a first-round receiver. You definitely need Xavier Worthy. I think he's got more pressure on him than Rasheed Rice did last year. And I thought Rasheed Rice had more pressure on him than Sky Moore the year before because of who they kept and who they did not go out and get. But the wide receiver room isn't exponentially different. I know we're looking at it as, well, he's got weapons now. He's got receivers now. Not a bunch more. I mean, tight ends, you know, Kelsey's still your number one option. You know Noah Gray's got good hands. Jared Wiley, by the way, has great hands. But you're counting on Xavier Worthy. You already had Rasheed Rice. Hollywood Brown was the big addition, but he's going to miss the first couple of games. Justin Watson was already here. Justin Ross was already here. Sky Moore was already here. Mecole Hardman was already here. To be honest with you, the wide receiver room hasn't changed a whole hell of a lot. It changed with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown is not playing right now because he's hurt. So Xavier Worthy is really the only addition that they're going to be starting the season with against the Ravens in the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yeah, I think a lot of pressure will be on Xavier Worthy this year because you were a first-round pick, and the Chiefs got you instead of a Keon Coleman or Xavier Leggett or an A.D. Mitchell with the Colts that are doing well. And I believe in Xavier Worthy, but they banked a lot on it. Being a first-round wide receiver, you're always going to have a lot of pressure being first-round. But I don't buy the fact that, hey, this wide receiver room is completely different. Yes, Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy is different. But if Hollywood Brown's not playing, Xavier Worthy is the only difference. Am I wrong there, Rum?
When you say there's the expectations on Worthy and there's pressure on Worthy, I agree because of his draft status. What are reasonable expectations to have for him, though? Because let's just, we're working under the assumption Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown's out the first 2-3 weeks of the year. That's, we all kind of feel that way.
And he's, by the way, he's missed 8 games the last 2 years.
Correct. Him missing games was the free space on your bingo card when it came to the Chiefs season. There is a reason he was a 1-year type of player available in free agency. It's not because, you know, he's Jamar Chase. It just, this is what happens with those type of players. The Chiefs still found good value. I still think they're going to get the most out of him. All those things. But there's a reason he was a 1-year guy. What do you think the numbers going to look like for Xavier Worthy? Because you're saying there's a lot of pressure on him. I actually think there's very little. I think the Chiefs went out of their way to rehab the entire room, and Marquise Brown will eventually return. And now the feeling is, hey, get in where you fit in. You're wide receiver 3. You're the change of pace, go deep guy. And if you have a 550 to 600-yard season, no one in Kansas City is going to say, that's what we got out of pick 27. That's way too I think the thought is ease in year one because we have the weaponry around you where we don't rely on you in year one. Because remember last year, they were going into the last season, they had the same thought, but no one else felt the same. They thought we have Tony, we have Moore, we have Kelsey, we're good, no pressure on Rice. Wrong, a lot of pressure on Rice. This season, they have Kelsey, Brown is a known commodity, albeit hurt. Rashee Rice is now a known commodity. Despite his off-the-field issues, we don't believe he's getting suspended this year. I don't feel there's heavy pressure on Xavier Worthy because I feel like he gets to kind of ease into the flow because no one expects huge things from him stats-wise.
I do, and here's why. First of all, I mentioned the receivers he was taken in front of. So naturally, you're going to have pressure there because people are going to be watching the production of other receivers. I mean, if A.D. Mitchell just goes out and kills it, you're going to be sitting here going, whoa. Man, the Colts got a steal in the second round with A.D. Mitchell, who a lot of people thought was a first-round receiver. But the Chiefs, that we all knew, was a receiver-starved team. This team, even though they win the Super Bowl, we all know they needed receivers last year. They led the NFL in drops. The Chiefs' first-rounder was going to be a receiver. It is not like the Chiefs threw other darts at wide receivers. It's not like Luke McCaffrey, that I thought would be we mocked him on our show, to the Chiefs in the mid-rounds. But it's not like they went and got that. It's not like they grabbed 2 receivers in the draft. They drafted 1. Xavier Worthy's it. That's why I think the pressure exists on Xavier Worthy. And I think they want to see production because he's the same guy as Hollywood Brown, and Hollywood Brown's going to be gone after 1 year. But Xavier Worthy, to me, being a first-round pick, this team is not a training wheels team anymore, in my opinion. It's a team trying to three-peat. It's a team that went out and brought their whole defensive line back. They went into the offseason with just Neil Farrell being the only defensive lineman signed under contract. Then they bring everybody back. Turk Wharton, Mike Dana, Chris Jones, they all come running back. This team wants to three-peat. That is their ultimate goal. They've been not shy about talking about it. And Xavier Worthy is the one piece that is new. And I get it. Hollywood Brown is here. But Hollywood Brown ain't playing. So right now, to me, it's Xavier Worthy and the expectations. I think he lives up to them because I like Xavier Worthy. He didn't practice. He had the hamstring and whatever during OTAs. This guy's never missed a game in Texas. I believe in what he can do, and I believe he's going to have a good year. But I'm saying the pressure does exist because he was your only wide receiver pick in a year where you needed a wide receiver. I think it was the easiest draft in the first round finding a pick, knowing the Chiefs were going to pick a receiver. 100% as far as identifying who, well, besides Caleb Williams to the Bears and the teams that wanted quarterbacks, but the Chiefs needed a receiver and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. So, yeah, I think the pressure's there. I did feel that Rashee Rice had more pressure on him than Sky Moore the year before because they count on him. And I think they're going to count on Xavier Worthy. And not only that, but the things that Mahomes was saying and Andy Reid was saying through training camp that, hey, we're loading a lot on Xavier Worthy, putting a lot on his plate, giving him a lot of installs because he's a very cerebral player, former academic All-Big 12. I mean, they're loading him up, and they've admitted to loading up Rashee Rice. And they're loading him up for the season. I think they have big plans and big attention for him. So I am almost to the point where I'm thinking, okay. And not only that, Dave Tope thinks they're going to bring him back on kicks a little bit just so he can excel because he's been playing a lot more wide receiver.
Yeah, he's able. He's able. He's probably one of our better guys, but the injury to Hollywood kind of changed things a little bit. there with his status, you know, so we just said, let's keep him out this game. We still got two more games. We might get him in there, but if not, I mean, he's done a lot in practice to show us that he can do it.
So he's going to be a kick returner too, but Dave Tobes said they may have to scale that back because he's going to get more reps on offense. I'm really looking forward to it. I think they've been loading him up. They've been putting a lot of pressure on him. I know that his wide receiver coach, Embry, was talking about Worthy and how much they've been loading him up with.
He'll probably do a little more than Rasheed did, but still probably not try to overload him and let him get his feet wet and build it up.
I tried to overload him, but Mahomes and Reed have talked about loading him up. And this guy, no training wheels for this team, man. It's go time for the Kansas City Chiefs. Hope you're at the stadium now or on your way to the stadium for the third preseason game. The weather is great. It's, 78 degrees? Absolutely perfect out in Kansas City tonight. But the Kansas City Royals have a very important series tomorrow against Philadelphia. That and what is the riptide, as Josh Vernier calls the next 20 games. They're tough. Next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. Mahomes and Kelce working out on the field. Of course, if you're there early, you get to see that. If you want to see Mahomes, there's your chance to see Patrick Mahomes right there. But the good thing I like about Patrick is he's going to watch every play of the game. He gets excited when guys score touchdowns. He was also the guy when guys get their first NFL touchdown during the regular season. He's like, hey, man, don't throw that ball in the stands. You want to keep that ball, like he keeps people in their memories on that. Which, by the way, today he gave $5 million to Texas Tech for their walk area. We walked through it, and they're going to name that the Mahomes area. Plus, they're naming their offensive coordinator and quarterback rooms the Mahomes room. Yeah, they're going to have his name on their field.
I mean, he has the logo on the field.
Is he got the logo on the field? Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
I imagine he was part of the decision of Texas Tech move from Under Armour to Adidas.
They did. And it's, you know, they call it the walkthrough area, and Mahomes is going to be on there. Text line 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Bank, are we going to see a lot of 13 personnel this year? How do you think the TCU tight end will be? I like Jared Wiley. I had his coach on, Sonny Dykes, and we had character concerns during the draft. There's a lot of hype for Wiley. He was very good. Tight ends did slip kind of the mid rounds. I like his production. We'll get to see him a lot tonight. But he's behind Noah Gray, and he's behind Travis Kelce. That is your tight end three at this point. Well, they run a lot of 13 personnel, which is three tight ends, one back, 12 personnel, two tight ends. So, yes, I think the Chiefs will learn a lot of 12 and a lot of 13. And they even did a lot last year in the postseason. Remember, they pulled Kelce out. Kelce got mad at Andy Reid during the Super Bowl because Gray and Bell were in the game because they were running 12 personnel in different packages in that. But any other Chiefs questions you have for tonight, 913-586-7965. We'll get to him. Plus, we have the extra point coming up at the end. But had Mark DeRosa on, the 16-year MLB guy who's on MLB Central each and every day, which is an awesome show. But he and Robert Flores are going to be calling with Lauren Jihadi. He'll be here with them, too. The whole crew from MLB Central will be calling a game together. They're going to call the Chiefs. Or the, not Chiefs. Got Chiefs in my brain. Understandably so. They play in an hour and a half. The Royals and the Phillies from Kauffman Stadium Saturday. Again, you're going to see Walker, Singer, and Lugo for this very important series against Philadelphia. Every game is important. It didn't matter who they're playing. They could be playing Oakland tomorrow night and it'd still be important because Cleveland lost today to the Yankees 6-0. Was it 6-0, right? Final score? And they've lost five of the last six games. They're only two games up now. Royals gained a half game by not playing today. But the Twins are right there with the Royals with the identical record. But Cleveland, now you think, okay, Kansas City's fighting Minnesota for that third wild card or second wild card. Second or third wild card could come down to Cleveland and Minnesota or Kansas City and Cleveland if Minnesota gets the division. I think the Royals right there with the division. I mean, who else? Why not? This team's solid. We talked about it yesterday. Are they better in 2014? All but the bullpen. I mean, Ursig would have belonged on that team. I mean, they've got more stolen bases. They hit more home runs. They have more RBI guys. Bobby Wood Jr. is the best player on the planet, in my opinion. He's on this team, not that team. You're getting a better hitting Salvador Perez now than you did back then. Before this stretch, as Vern is aptly named, the riptide for what the Royals can do in their situation. And, yes, it's absolutely huge that they're playing Philadelphia because I think it's a barometer. Because Philadelphia, in my opinion, is the best team in the National League. I know the Dodgers have two more wins, but I put Philadelphia as the best team in the National League. So you get them for three. It'll be spotlighted. It'll be talked about. Got one of the best teams in the American League going against one of the best teams in the National League. Then it's four against Cleveland starting Monday. Monday, I mean, that's go time for the Royals. 12:10 in the afternoon, the first game. Because remember, it rained out earlier this season, and they're going to do it Monday. Cole Reagan's on the mound that first game against Cleveland. Then they'll play again that same day at 5:40. Then they play the next night and the next day after that at 12:10. So four games there in Cleveland and you're two games behind them. That's huge. You got to just keep that lead. You got to stay the same. And whether you scoreboard watch, what's Cleveland doing when the Royals are playing Philadelphia, keep an eye on it because the Royals could leave that series being in first place in the AL Central. That could happen by next Wednesday. You're sitting there going, well, Royals are in first place in the division. Maybe. Knock on wood. Then they still have to go to Houston for four games after that. They have Cleveland coming into Kansas City for three more games. So you got Cleveland, seven games there, an 11-game stretch. I mean, it is a lot of the Cleveland Guardians for the Kansas City. Oh, only be followed up by the Minnesota Twins. And then they're at the New York Yankees. And we know how good New York's been playing. We know what New York did to Kansas City in Kansas City. That will be I think that'll be fun seeing Judge and Witt again and Soto because you're talking about two of the best players in Major League Baseball right now, the top two in the MVP race. It's Judge and Witt, right? That's who's getting it. I mean, it's not even any contest in the American League. It's Judge 1, Witt 2.
I don't think it should be that like locked in that Judge is 1 and Witt is 2, but I agree that is how it's going to end.
Yeah, it's how it's going to end. I mean, Judge's numbers are ridiculous.
I mean, Carrington told me at one point the betting markets had Aaron Judge like minus 1,000 to win MVP. Like,
oh, he's way down there now. But you got to remember, he's hitting .334. He's on pace for 60 home runs. He's on pace to lead in RBI. And he could lead in home runs. And he's second in average right now. So, I mean, you talk about Triple Crown. I mean, he's almost Triple Crown caliber. But, yeah, the odds, and keep in mind, I think what Bobby Wood Jr. is much different than him because he's playing with a different team, different expectations, different payrolls. Why I'd give it to Bobby Wood Jr. because he's just a better all-around player. He does more things, but Aaron Judge is off to a huge year. By the way, on FanDuel, he's minus 3,000.
Yeah.
Wood Jr. is plus 850.
I mean, the betting markets are telling you that Aaron Judge is MVP. That if you're not a gambler, that's fine. But that number is basically what is it? You got to bet 3,000 to win 100.
It's sucker bet.
Exactly. That is FanDuel or DraftKings or ESPN Bet, BetMGM, whatever your preferred mode of gambling on the Kansas side is. That they are telling you without telling you it is going to be Aaron Judge MVP. I just don't think the numbers should reflect that. I think it should be like plus 250 for Judge, he should win, and like plus 500 for Bobby Witt. It should be more competitive at this point in time in voters' minds, but I'm just screaming into the void.
And keep this in mind, too. I mean, he's that close to a Triple Crown, right? I mean, he's not going to be caught in home runs. He's got 48. Otani has 39 as far as Major League Baseball. Now, as far as the American League, he's way up there because Santander's there. Anthony Santander for Baltimore's got 37, so he's got that wrapped up. He leads MLB and RBI in the American League, too, if we're just talking the Triple Crown. He's 17 ahead of Jose Ramirez, and he's behind Bobby Witt Jr. in batting average, 352 to 334. I'm just saying the Triple Crown is still in play for the dude. And he's at least going to have two out of three and be second in the other one. So that's pretty hard to beat. But again, when I look at stolen bases and everything else, I build my team around Bobby Witt Jr. If you ask me which guy I'd build my franchise around, Bobby Witt or Aaron Judge, it'd be Bobby Witt Jr. 100% it would be. I mean, the guy's going to be 30-30 again this year, which is insane. And it just shows you how good and how much fun he is to go out and watch. Now people are going to the ballpark to watch Bobby Witt Jr. both here and on the road. He's now a star to go watch. Mark DeRosa, MLB Network, said that former player, he was also Bobby Witt Jr.'s coach for Team USA when the World Baseball Classic, said he wants his 14-year-old to play like Bobby Witt Jr. He calls him one of the top five faces of the game, and I believe it. I think he's one of the top three faces of the game, to be honest with you. I think it's Ohtani, Judge, and Bobby Witt Jr. I think those are the top three faces of Major League Baseball. Coming up next, go ahead and text us in if you want to, 913-586-7965. We get you ready for the Chiefs and Bears third preseason game tonight on The Extra Point.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back, Jim Hinkley, Rob Britton. Chiefs game coming up just a little bit. Of course, 7:20 tonight. Of course, pregame at 6 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't touch the dial. It'll be on this station as it will be all year long. You can hear the Kansas City Chiefs. You can hear Mitch Holtis, Dana Hughes, and Josh Klingler. We had Dana Hughes on at 4 o'clock. I thought it was a really good conversation with looking at the wide receiver position. No better person to talk to today than Dana Hughes about the Chiefs wide receiver battle at that position. That is the interesting thing to watch for me, because it's not given who's going to end up the last two receivers on this team. I think there's five locks, two kind of questionable. Are they going to keep four tight ends or just three? I think they can just keep three, throw Irv Smith, because you can take six players that have accrued NFL playing time and put them on your practice squad, which you couldn't do in the past. 16-man practice squad, and you can elevate them up to three times during the season. During the regular season, if that's where they stay, that's what I'm going to be watching tonight. And the running game, I want to see some Carson Steele running. Again, I'm not going to put too much stock into it because you're not running against starters. The players you're running against may or may not even ever sniff the NFL ever again, who they're going to be playing. So I'm not putting a ton of stock into it, but I just want to see it because it's football. And, you know, we sit here tonight, 2 weeks away from opening day in the NFL. That's it, 2 weeks. 14 Cornell Powell days away for the opening game of the year. It doesn't get much better than that. Now, you might not like the third preseason game. I mean, yeah, but I will tell you this. I'm glad it's tonight. There's three games in the NFL tonight. That's fine. Don't play it on Friday, Saturday. There is a host of games on Sunday, because the cutdown day will be Tuesday at 3 o'clock. So that'll be a fun time, to be honest with you, as the roster's kind of selected tomorrow. I'll kind of put the who I think, how many running backs, tight ends, wide receivers I think the Chiefs will keep. Give you that information tomorrow as we look back at who did what in tonight's game. Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs will join us between 3 and 4 o'clock to get his opinions on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's always a great guest to have. But to me, it's not about Ian Book, not watching, you know, it's not about Chris Olatokun. It is about the running game and the wide receivers, and I want to see some Jared Wiley at tight end, which you're going to see because you're not going to see Noah Gray and Travis Kelce. So that's very simple for me, Rob. I'm heavy offense tonight with these guys. I guess on defense, I do want to see some Jaden Hicks.
I mean, I hope you're watching the first quarter if you want some Jaden Hicks, because that – I don't know how much time – if Jaden Hicks is going to be the player we think he is here for the Chiefs and play – heavy snaps, then I wouldn't anticipate a lot of Jaden Hicks tonight.
I don't either.
Like, I'm trying to,
I really don't expect to see him, but I, you know, having rookies play, I think that they want to see that, and especially special teams wise as well, because Dave Tove has him on all four special. He's a four phaser right now.
I'm trying to remember how they don't chart it, so there's no way to look it up. Chamari Connor didn't play a lot in the final preseason game last year, if I recall. So, I mean,
I'm not expecting to see him much tonight at all.
This is as much as football matters and it's back and the Chiefs and the whole deal. Tonight's like for Veach and Reed to figure out practice squad guys. All right, why are we keeping this guy over that guy because he can be on our practice squad? What can we do with him? Like that is what tonight's about. Tonight's about guy 50 through 69. That's kind of tonight's vibe.
Good to be tonight. If you're interested in seeing the kickoff, what they do, or are they just going to put it through the end zone, get it on the 30, because you don't have some of your players that's going to be on there. Don't forget Dave Tope 2 days ago talked about Nico Remigio and how he's going to pound the table for him to be on the roster. That weighs heavily, man, when Dave Tope's got your back like that. Justin Ross, seeing what he can do, kind of interested in that. But regardless, hope you enjoyed the game tonight. Again, pregame starting here at 6 o'clock. Royals off today. They'll play Philadelphia this weekend. It'll be Waka Singer and Lugo for the Kansas City Royals. Vern tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Just keep your station right here. Kansas City Chiefs stuff right up here on 96.5 The Fan FM. Thanks to Mark DeRosa, MLB Network, for joining us. Thank you, Dana Hughes, color analyst, Kansas City Chiefs, joining us. See you guys. And thank you, Rob. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.